Welcome to this episode of Horrific History and Hauntings. I'm Beth.
And I'm Rami. We're your hosts here to talk about the stories the history books ignore.
From horrific epidemics and ghostly hauntings to the catastrophes and tragic events that have sickened humanity.
Yes, been a while since we recorded. Yet again, my sister's impromptu vacations have come back to bite us. She consumed something there and now she's infested with parasites.
That's not entirely true. It feels like a parasite.
So we're recording a little bit later than usual.
First thing is, well, we're going to have, it's a Haunting and Legends Across America episode. Star Trek premiered in 1966.
I think that's a good thing.
For you. I don't like Star Trek.
I like Star Trek.
Gay sergeant challenges the Air Force.
I don't know how that turned out, so I can't say if it was good or bad. I can guess the subject matter.
That was in 1975.
That probably didn't go great then.
Yeah.
That might have. I just never heard of it.
It was covered on Time magazine with the headline, I am a homosexual.
Oh.
A month and a half later, he was given a general discharge by the Air Force.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that didn't go great.
He completed 3 tours of Vietnam.
He did all that horrible war.
In 1979, after winning a much publicized case against the Air Force, his discharge was upgraded to honorable.
Well, that's better. At least he can get, you know, benefits and stuff that way.
He died at age 44 of complications from AIDS.
That's not terribly surprising, unfortunately. It got a lot of people back then.
He was buried with full military honors, and his tombstone reads, a gay Vietnam veteran. There you go.
Yeah.
That's our today in history.
It's kind of a sad one, for sure.
Yeah. Tennessee is where we're starting.
Ah, yes.
And it's the haunting of Loretta Lynn's ranch.
I've been there.
I haven't.
I think you have. You're just too young to remember.
The one in Tennessee?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
I'd like to see the one in Kentucky. It's not a ranch. It's just a old
building,
I guess. Yeah. After Loretta Lynn's career took off, she and her husband decided to buy a ranch in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. But they actually ended up buying the whole town because that's what they had to purchase to get the ranch. She apparently owned a whole town.
Little Dolly's got pretty much all of Gatlinburg.
Yeah. Soon after the family moved in, they began seeing and hearing strange things that they couldn't explain. Loretta told of seeing a crying woman in white on the balcony as her tour bus pulled into the driveway. When she went inside to ask her nanny about the strange woman on her porch, the nanny told her that nobody else was home. Loretta believed that this was the spirit of a woman named Beulah Anderson because she later saw the woman in white standing near a tombstone on the property that had that name on it.
I haven't heard the name Beulah since I lived in McKenna County.
Yeah. After a few more odd encounters, they decided to do some research on the property and discovered it was once a Civil War battlefield. Not only that, but they found that nearly 20 Confederate soldiers were buried on the land, though some sources said around 13 soldiers were on the property, so who knows?
Who knows? It's a one-sided battle.
Yeah.
Unless nobody kept track of the other side, I guess.
A Civil War battle in July 1863 resulted in numerous fatalities on the property. Loretta's family discovered cannonballs and other artifacts after moving in, which would be awesome. I want to discover cannonballs. One day, Loretta's son, Jack, took a nap in what they called the Brown Room, only to be woken up by Confederate soldiers trying to remove his boots.
I'm not dead.
So he said he ran out of the room after that and explained that the soldiers would strip the dead for uniforms and boots due to the shortages.
Yeah. Now they have another reason for calling it the Brown Room.
They also claim that dead flies were always found on the windowsills of this particular room. It was originally Loretta's son's Ernest, his room.
Mm-hmm.
Not the same son. But he refused to sleep in the Brown Room when he woke up around 2 a.m. to find 2 men on either side of his bed. He probably was afraid his boots were going to get stolen.
Yeah. Maybe you should
call it... Why are they sleeping in their boots?
I have no idea. Maybe you should call it something like the Daisy Room. Something that less...
During a tour, one guy who didn't believe in ghosts adjusted a picture that was crooked on the wall. And Loretta claimed that the spirit didn't like this and pushed the guy down the stairs.
I wonder what her property insurance is.
The general manager, who was also a skeptic, attempted to debunk the incident by repeating what the guy did with the same tour group. He moved the frames and after saying, see, nothing happened, a large black snake slithered out from under the steps.
Huh. Perhaps that's what tripped the other dude.
That's a possibility. The basement contained a slave quarters where the sounds of rattling and chains were reportedly heard as well.
A lot of those have been destroyed. Mm-hmm. Some older homes around here had them, and they've just tore them apart.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest. I'm a fan of history, so I hate to see something old go, but...
Yeah, but...
I don't know.
It's one of those things. What are you going to use that for?
Yeah. Educational purposes?
Yeah. Well, I mean...
How many of them do you need around to do that, though?
I guess if the house is a museum now...
This isn't. This is a residence, so...
Yeah.
And it was outside. It wasn't even part of the house.
Moving on to Texas. We're talking about Houston's Batman. Not the hero. On June 18th, 1953, Hilda Walker, Judy Myers, and Howard Phillips reported seeing a man who had wings like a bat.
And they named him Batman.
Yep. They described the creature as standing 6.5 feet tall with a yellow glow surrounding it, and it appeared to be dressed in gray or black tight clothes. It was perched in a tree staring at them, and then it just vanished.
It's eerie. I wonder if it's considered one of the Mothman sightings, too.
I don't know. But it's in Texas. I'd never heard of a Texas Mothman sighting. There were around 16 phantom attacks around the same time. The attacker always got away, even with police and civilians chasing it. A Daily News... I don't know what the Daily News is. I must have made a typo. But it reported one of the attacks where a woman was pulled from her car. But again, the attacker fled and escaped. On May 6, 1954, when a hospital superintendent was arrested for indecent exposure and vagrancy after being reported nude, was accused of these attacks.
Okay.
He confessed to the nudity, but he denied any involvement in the phantom attacks. But despite his denying the attacks, the incidents seemed to stop around this time of his arrest.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. Did you see on... TikTok, I don't know if I sent you the video or not, but Volunteer Parkway, Bristol, our local thing, apparently there was a man pleasuring himself while staring the cars down.
No.
Near the Walmart.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
Not terribly
surprising. It's Bristol, baby.
Yep, right there by the speedway, isn't it? Oh.
But next up is Utah. The Rio Grande Depot. It's a train station located in Salt Lake City.
That makes sense, because it's a depot.
Mm-hmm. Security guards at the Rio Grande Depot have shared strange stories, including disembodied footsteps and the sounds of heavy breathing. Some also have reported shadowy figures that appear late in the evening. The most famous paranormal sighting at the depot is that of the Purple Lady.
Oh, finally!
Purple, not white.
Yay.
Purple. The Purple Lady is said to be the spirit of a young woman who died there in the early 1900s. According to local tales, she was arguing with her fiancé at the train station when her engagement ring was thrown onto the tracks. She went to retrieve it after throwing it onto the tracks.
No, woman!
And when she jumped down, she was hit and killed by a train.
You know what you shouldn't be doing? Crawling across train tracks.
Yeah, or throwing your engagement ring on the train tracks.
I don't think anybody in their right mind should throw that thing.
Yeah.
I don't care how much you hate somebody, you should probably keep that and sell it.
Yeah. They tend to be pricey. Sightings of the Purple Lady date back to 1947. She's been spotted near the women's restroom and where the cafe used to be located downstairs. She is described as wearing a long purple dress with purple shoes and a hat and veil that match.
That's nice.
It's different.
It's nice to have a different ghost color.
There's also said to be a spirit of a man who shows up around the depot as well, but not much was found about him.
I'm going to start buying dolls and try to coax some of these ladies in white into the dolls. Then we can have a bunch of haunted dolls and just lower the number of ladies in white around.
Yeah. Give the other color dressed ladies a chance. On to Vermont. It's the hauntings of the University of Vermont.
You don't say.
Yeah. The agriculture department's Bittersweet House is said to be home to a female ghost wearing a late 19th century dress. The Converse Hall is where one of the University of Vermont's most famous ghosts resides. It's said that the attic is haunted by a ghost called Henry, who is believed to be a student who died by suicide in the 1920s due to academic pressures. Henry gets blamed for slamming doors, knocking things over, and moving furniture.
Well, he tried to get out of school, and now he's stuck there.
Yeah.
So.
I'd be pissed off, too. Others believe that these hauntings are caused by an engineering student who died in an electrical accident in the 1980s. The Jacobs House on South William Street, now home to the Center for Counseling and Testing, has a long-standing reputation for being haunted by a 19th century sea captain. This former resident died in the house in 1877 and is said to appear as an elderly man. He's often seen on the stairs where he's described as flickering like a jellyfish before vanishing.
Okay.
I don't know.
It has to be a deep sea kind of.
What that meant.
Unless she's
and it, ballooning. I was thinking like that Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Mummy.
Whatever it was that did that little groove swaying thing.
Return the slab.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ramses.
But it says flicker, so it makes me think more of twitching.
Maybe when they say flicker, I think of like sea creature with bioluminescence.
Maybe. Maybe that's what it meant.
What do you call it when a jellyfish plume? It moves about by, you know how jellyfish move. They
Pulse.
I don't know.
I don't, that's what I would call it.
Asked ChatGPT or Google Gemini to make you a video of a flickering
jellyfish.
Get jellyfish, and I bet it'll be bioluminescence and not a movement.
Yeah. Janitorial staff have reported lights turning on by themselves and buckets being knocked over as well.
Annoying.
Yeah. Coolidge Hall has a reputation for being quite haunted as well. Its resident ghosts include a male entity who wakes students by gazing at them, and he also likes to yank blankets off the beds and whistle.
Is this girl or boys that he's doing this to?
It didn't specify.
You know, it's less creepy. Well, I mean, it's still creepy, but.
Next up is Virginia. So I decided to go with the Martha Washington Inn on this one.
A local.
Obviously, we know it's located in Abingdon, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
The Martha Washington Inn and Spa is rumored to have six ghosts. It was originally built in 1832 as a private home. Then it turned into an all-female college before being used as a Civil War hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Among the spirits said to reside there is Beth.
Okay.
Yeah. She was a young nurse who fell in love with the Union soldier. After his death in room 217, she passed away from typhoid fever. Her violin music that she used to play for the soldier she loved is said to still be heard.
I've been in there and seen a bloodstain that never goes away.
Mm.
Yeah. Under a clock, I believe, in a hallway.
Yeah, it's the only way they could cover it.
Yeah, keep coming back.
Yeah.
It's right across the road from the Barter Theater, which is also haunted, apparently.
Yeah, we talked about that in the theaters episode, I believe. And they're connected by a tunnel, but I don't know about now because there was a sinkhole there.
Oh, yeah.
In the road, so I feel like the tunnel probably is no longer usable.
No.
Another Confederate soldier was shot and left a bloodstain on the floor. This is what you were talking about. Oh. And it continues to show up no matter how hard they try to get rid of it. So they just shoved a clock on top of it.
A grandfather clock, yep.
Some say they have seen a soldier wandering, slaves entombed in the basement walls, and an evil spirit in the tunnel underground that connects the Martha to the barter.
Well, that's
over. It ain't going too far now. I guess if you're a spirit, you can just walk through the debris.
Yeah. Part of Main Street.
Just use this above crosswalk now.
Oh, yeah.
It's okay.
How they redo that every few years. They just fix it up to make it even more flashy because I guess people going from the theater to the parking spots get run down or something.
Yeah. The horse is said to have belonged to a wounded soldier who was carried to the Martha and that it waited for its master and wandered the grounds until, even though the owner died.
Oh.
The next day, they couldn't find the horse, though. However, on moonless nights, a horse with no rider is said to be seen on the inn's lawn. I think people were just seeing, you know, the horses they used to have for carriage rides around town.
Don't they still do those?
No.
Oh.
I think that may have been what people were seeing, because I've never seen a horse wandering around.
Well, we're not really sitting around there that often.
True, true. Well, now I got to go sit in front of the Martha. I've stayed there twice. I never experienced anything.
No. All I hear
I like
about
their heated saltwater pool.
I guess. All I hear about the place is from the staff's perspective, so I don't really know much.
Yeah.
I haven't been there or looked into it since I was a kid.
One of the kitchen staff that I used to work with at another place said that she would have guests sometimes say they could hear the violin music.
Oh, that's cool.
And that it would wake them up.
All I heard about was complaints. Like, not people complaining, but the staff complaining about their jobs. So,
I've heard that too.
That's everybody.
Hopefully, things will get better because it's a beautiful place and it needs.
Well, I have no idea. It might have been fine. People complain about their jobs all the time, so I try not to.
Yeah, but when pretty much all of your kitchen staff quits at the same exact time, there's probably a reason.
Yeah, they did do that.
Yeah. So hopefully they get that figured out and it continues to
It's been over a year, so they might have figured it out.
Yeah. The Martha Washington College continued to operate as a girls' school until the Depression forced it to close. And then it was reopened as a hotel, inn, and spa in 1935. And that's what it is today.
Really? It stayed that long? I would assume it was later, like the 70s, that it moved over to that. But I guess, cool.
Yeah. And that's all for this episode.
Okay. Well,
I don't have a parasite, guys. I have a baby growing inside of me.
Oh. Well, same thing early on.
Yeah.
You get ill.
And it's making me very sick and tired.
Yeah.
It hates me, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. She's going to name it Aiden the...
I'm not naming it Aiden.
Aiden the Superior.
I'm not going to name it Aiden the Superior. That's horrible. Aiden, if you hear this, I will not forget you, and I'm not going to replace you or name my child Aiden the Superior.
He's so worried that we'll pick it over him. He said, I'm going to be forgotten. Forgotten Aiden.
Oh.
He's our little cousin. But yeah, that was nice. I like the fact we finally got to Virginia and Tennessee.
Yeah, we have one more after this, and we'll be done with that. And then I...
figure out something else.
Yeah.
The horrors of childbearing.
Might as well. Vomiting. Ugh. I could tell you that. Vomiting. Constant nausea. Have to eat even though you're nauseous. With your anti-nausea medicine, otherwise it makes you vomit.
I know, because I've been on it too, where I have that fear of nausea, and they give me medicine to fight it off, but I have to eat while I feel nauseous first. I'm like, oh, golly.
It's awful.
Yeah.
And sleeping all the time sleeping, not getting much done at all. Like, I get one task done if I'm lucky enough, like, well, it's time for my 10-hour nap for the day.
I started a new YouTube channel called Creating Cool Crafts, and it's got like a couple of videos, a tour of the building we're in right now, recording, and I've made some improvements since I put the videos up. I'm going to just try and do shorts here soon. We haven't done much on the gaming channel because, obviously, I guess I could be doing gaming things, but people kind of like to watch Beth do gaming things. I think since she's, you know, so riddled with parasites that we will be doing the every other week thing.
Yeah.
And if there's a gap, we apologize, but now you know why. It's because she's, you know.
Vomiting.
Yeah.
Or sleeping.
Yeah. Those worms take a lot out of you. It's all the raw fish.
Ew.
But other than that, keep an eye on our socials. I try to post things, updates on Blue Sky and Facebook groups. Oh, yeah. I posted on YouTube, like on our Chrism Gaming channel. There's a bunch of links in the description. It takes you to all these things. A Linktree link that will take you to a lot of them. There's emails below that if you want to reach out and say hi. Say anything you like. There's links below that or in the podcast website to send a donation or a tip if you want to. I'm not sure what to call it. Donation, tip, help, whatever, thanks. But it keeps the podcast hosted. If we ever stop actually paying that, all the episodes will go away, not just the new ones. Thank you again for being patient, and thank you for listening. I have been Ramey.
And I'm Beth.
This has been HH&H. Bye-bye.